ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Bhaktyatvananyaya shakya aham evam vidorjuna gyatum drashtum cha tatvena praveshtum cha parantapa. My dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, standing before you, and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. Purport: Krishna can be understood only by the process of undivided devotional service. He explicitly explains this in this verse so that unauthorized commentators who try to understand Bhagavad Gita by the speculative process will know that they are simply wasting their time. No one can understand Krishna or how he came from parents in a four-handed form and at once changed himself into a two-handed form. These things are very difficult to understand by the study of the Vedas or by philosophical speculation. Therefore, it is clearly stated here that no one can see him or enter into understanding of these matters. Those who, however, are very experienced students of Vedic literature can learn about him from the Vedic literature in so many ways. There are so many rules and regulations, and if one at all wants to understand Krishna, he must follow the regulative principles described in the authoritative literature. One can perform penance in accordance with those principles. For example, to undergo serious penances, one may observe fasting on Jamashtami, the day on which Krishna appeared, and on the 2 days of Ekadasi, the 11th day after the new moon and the 11th day after the full moon. As far as charity is concerned, it is plain that charity should be given to the devotees of Krishna who are engaged in his devotional service to spread the Krishna philosophy or Krishna consciousness throughout the world. Krishna consciousness is a benediction to humanity. Lord Chaitanya was appreciated by Rupa Goswami as the most munificent man of charity, because love of Krishna, which is very difficult to achieve, was distributed freely by him. So if one gives some amount of his money to persons involved in distributing Krishna consciousness, that charity given to spread Krishna consciousness is the greatest charity in the world. And if one worships as prescribed in the temple, in the temples in India, there's always some statue, usually of Vishnu or Krishna. There is a chance to progress by offering worship and respect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For the beginners in devotional service of the Lord, temple worship is essential. Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai. For the beginners in devotional service to the Lord, temple worship is essential, and this is confirmed in the Vedic literature. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaurabhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The whole process of Krishna consciousness is really meant to awaken our dormant love for Krishna. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained Krishna consciousness to Sanatana Goswami, he described it to be like a treasure which is hidden. And he by this Siddhesh Upadesh, this instruction which is pointing towards a perfection, that is the perfection of the treasure of love of Godhead, he awoke the curiosity of Sanatana Goswami so that a question came up in, how can we obtain the treasure of Krishna consciousness? The answer to this question, how can we obtain the treasure of Krishna consciousness, is given in the Vedic scriptures in the part which is called Abhideya, the process how to obtain love of Godhead. Now most people are not interested to develop the treasure of Krishna consciousness. They are not really attracted to the concept to get love of God. It is also sad to say that sometimes devotees of Krishna lose this focus in their lives. They are no longer burning with the intensity to obtain that rarest treasure of Krishna prema. Why? Well, the reason is that since time immemorial, beginningless time, we have turned our face away from Krishna to the material energy. And the moment where we turn our face away from Krishna and look to the material energy, we are overwhelmed by the display of Maya, by this material energy. We are, in other words, totally absorbed by the material energy. The scriptures give the example of a magical show. A magical show is able to absorb the attention of the living entity and evoke deep emotions in it, in the living entity, which totally bind the living entity. For instance, there is one trick in India where the magician gives an appearance of sewing someone's body in two pieces. He's not actually doing it, because that would be a criminal act. But when you watch him, you think, well, wait a minute, well, stop! And you want to run to the stage and stop him, because you see he's actually sewing a living person in two pieces. Holy ball! And you become afraid and shocked. You get the rasa of ghastliness. Please, no, no, no. And you are totally involved by this magical show. This is the example which the scriptures give. When the living entity turns his face away from Krishna, he sees the material energy, and this material energy absorbs the attention of the living entity and evokes so many emotions. Bhayam vini veshatahas yat. That's the 11th canto in the second chapter, verse 30, numbers 37, or if it's not 37, it's 35. Describes, by looking away from Krishna, you see the shadow of God, and you become absorbed in the shadow. Your intelligence becomes actually diverted, just like the intelligence of a person who goes to a magical show and who begins to think, this is real, they are killing a person, I must stop it. And you know, the other people say, no, 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 don't worry, he has done this 50 times, always with the same person, it's no problem, you know. But you are influenced in this way. So Maya, the material energy, makes us, captures our attention so that we cannot turn our attention to Krishna. Today we read some Krishna pastimes, and one devotee, we were just feeling so much the need. We wanted to know, what is Krishna doing at this time? And we went up into the Karuna Bhavan and got the books with the appropriate information. And, you know, we were diving deeply into it. And then the devotee looked at me and said something which I felt was it was totally disturbing my heart. The devotee said, I have no attraction to hearing Krishna's pastime. It's strange. And in my mind I thought, no, it is not strange. Since time immemorial, the living entity, due to its ignorance, has turned away from Krishna, the greatest treasure in life, and therefore has developed what is called an apathy. Let us say what is, let us find out what is an apathy. Apathy in Deutsch, apathie, ne? Wie sagt man in Deutsch? Eine Abneigung, eine Apathy, wie sagt man das in Deutsch? So eine Gleichgültigkeit eigentlich. Ah, oh, na und. Krishna is no longer attractive to us because our feelings are totally captured by the material energy. So all the scriptures since time immemorial do not only inform us about Krishna, that's a very important point, but they show us a process by which we can again turn our attention on Krishna. And that's the whole idea of temple worship. And it is necessary, Prabhupada said, it's very necessary for the Aruchi Bhaktas, those devotees who have not yet developed a taste. Huh? Because if we don't become attentive to Krishna in our hearts and our minds, then the information of Krishna will just, das lässt uns völlig kalt. Das war jetzt Norddeutsch formuliert, wie sagt man das im guten Deutsch? Das berührt uns nicht. Nicht? Wir empfinden Gleichgültigkeit darauf. My dear devotees, whenever you feel apathy towards Krishna, you must know that your attention has not been turned to Krishna. You were not sufficiently attentive to Krishna in your life. You missed the point. In the Gita, in the Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami talks about missing the point by, he says, following Niyamagraha, following the rules and regulations, for the sake of following them, but not for the sake of developing lubav, the love of Krishna. So, therefore, whenever you feel some apathy towards Krishna, some Gleichgültigkeit, it's a point to become alarmed. A little while ago, I received a letter from a friend. My friend was trying to convince me to spend more time in India and give lectures. And I said, oh my, I am so much overburdened here in Germany. Oh, Krishna. And then my friend wrote me back, Sachinandan Swami, this is your mistake. Don't you see that our older devotees need nourishment in their Krishna consciousness? The attention of our older devotees turns to so many things except for Krishna. Why? Because they don't feel nourished in their spiritual life. We need to nourish the older devotees. They have tried to turn away from everything which is non-Krishna. But now they have nothing. But if they don't get Krishna, then they will starve. They will feel very hopeless and alone and dried out. So you must go to India, and you must invite all the German devotees to come to India and take part in the Govardhan retreat, where we sit just in the lap of Giriraj Govardhan, and where we just look at Giriraj, sing the holy name, and chant Hare Krishna. And give seminars. We have now a publishing house which will officially introduce itself to the devotees on Sunday. It's the Sharanagati Publishing House. And the next book which comes in the Sharanagati Publishing House is called Bhakti Rasaya. This is the next book. And there you find this was a series of lectures which was given in India at the Govardhan lab, where we talked about Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And in the lab of Giriraj, and where we could feel our attention turned to Krishna. When I was in the beginning of my Krishna consciousness, I heard that there is a mountain of gold somewhere in the Himalayas. And the next thing I knew is I made plans to go to the mountain of gold and get the gold. Because our temples are always so poor, and I thought, let me get the gold. Then I talked to the other devotees. Can you come with me? We make an expedition to get the mountain of gold. And they said, ah. And I could never understand it. Up to this day, later I learned gold is not so important, so now I'm not going to get gold any longer. But I could never understand, why are they so apathetic to get gold? Then I understood that it was not so easy to get the mountain of gold, because many expeditions had tried and failed. But until this moment, I have seen in myself also, I have heard that love of Godhead is the most wonderful thing in the universe. I have heard that it takes care of all one's needs. But sometimes I see in my heart a strange apathy. Oh, na und? Jetzt machen wir erstmal die anderen wichtigen Sachen. And now we will do the other important things. And I have learned now from Jiva Goswami that the reason why we are like this, when it turns, when we are turning to Krishna consciousness, or when we are in Krishna consciousness, is that since really time immemorial, our mind has become absorbed in the material energy, and we have feelings of fear and lamentation. Prahlad Maharaj, he says this very nicely. He says, my dear Lord, my mind is overwhelmed by fear, by lamentation, by illusion, by this and that. How can I ever find pleasure in hearing about your pastimes? He says this in the seventh canto. I'm such a pitiable soul, bemitleidenswerte Seele. Hare Krishna. So the temple is there to turn our mind again to Krishna. I would really like to encourage all of you. Somehow in Goloka Dham, we have the most beautiful and blissful deities of the universe. I know not everyone agrees with me about this, but I'm convinced of this. You can be convinced of your deities. I'm convinced of my deities. So, and please learn this to turn your attention to Radha Madan Mohan. You should have your wristwatch turned after the watch of Radha Madan Mohan. When are they getting up? When can I see them the first time? When can I see them the second time? When is a good time to pray to them? When do they take their noon rest? When can I sing for them? You know, when can I bring some present for them? You should, once you learn to think in this direction, you will feel the revolution. You will see that something happens in your heart, and the Lord will recognize this. Oh, this person wants to come back to me. This person wants to actually love me. This person actually wants me. Let me give my milasti. Milasti means mercy. Let me give my mercy to this devotee. This is how Krishna will feel. The proof of this is Shuklambaradas Brahmachari. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, there was one Shuklambaradas Brahmachari. You must know, in Srivas Pandit's house, that's a house which has many different buildings, and at least four, I learned once, and there was also a kirtan hall. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go into this house of Shuklamba, of Shiva's Pandit, and perform kirtan during the night. The night is very cool, and it's was a very blissful time. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would dance with his devotees, and he also enjoyed to see his devotees dancing. I have a very nice picture in Karuna Bhavan where the devotees have painted a traditional painting according to the instructions how Mahaprabhu was dancing with his devotees. And Mahaprabhu used to like to see his devotees dance. When you dance in the temple, you should think, I will dance now to give pleasure to my Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, they were dancing. And one day, it so happened that Shuklambar Das Brahmachari came into the house and danced so ecstatically, with so much love, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt so moved that he moved on the throne the altar is a better word, of the house, and manifested his transcendental form as the Lord. And when Shuklambar Das Brahmachari saw this form of the Lord Krishna on the altar, he danced even more. So much he danced that he lost his little bag, which was his begging bag. You must know Shuklambar Das Brahmachari carried a little bag over his shoulder. And in this bag, with this bag, he was going to the houses of the people in Navadvip, and he said, Madhukar. I always say Madhukari, just Madhukari, that everyone understands, but there's another word. Yes, one is Bhikshudehi, 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 what you say. He went even to the houses of the most poor people in Navadvip. And he said, Bhikshudehi, Bhikshudehi. It was a little bag, or a big bag, you know. People thought, oh, this is Shuklambara, he's so poor. And they threw the cheapest food, which was at that time available in India, into his bag. The cheapest food was chipped rice, that is broken rice, which you could not sell very nicely in the market. So, Shuklambara had always this bag, which was usually had a little chipped rice. Now, he lived in a little house which he had constructed, Marke Eigenbau, on the bank of the Ganga. It was, you know, made with shilf. How do you say shilf? This, like bamboos, but reeds, huh? Reeds. He had constructed it. It's called a thatched cottage. You go like this, and you just make it. It was very, very poor house, and he lived directly on the bank of the Ganga. He used to take the Ganga water to cook his chipped rice. and he would be just very happy. He just chanted. And sometimes he would dance in ecstasy on the bank of the Ganga. And then he would go in the afternoon to bake some chipped rice. That was Shuklambar Das Brahmachari. He lived unakant, unknown to everyone. Because they thought, because he wanted to hide. Great devotees usually want to hide the wealth of bhakti. Now, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Shuklambara this brahmachari dancing in that kirtan with his begging bag flowing and crying, oh, Krishna, Krishna, see Krishna vanamali, you know, when he cried and chanted his songs to Krishna, then he looked at him and saw, he's the richest person in the universe. He has love of Krishna in his heart. And he then stopped the kirtan and said, Shuklambara, birth after birth, you are my devotee. Do you remember in Dvaraka? At that time, you were not Shuklambara. You were Hare Krishna. Who? Sudama Brahmana. Who know? Gaurahari. You know everything. You were Sudama Brahmana. And you came and you offered me a little chipped rice. You have come today again to me. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned to Krishna. Where is your rice? I want to eat your rice. Laura, Entschuldigung, jetzt habe ich dich böse schockiert. Es tut mir fürchterlich leid. I want to eat your rice. And then Mahaprabhu ate the rice of Shuklambara. When you came, said Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to see me in Dwaraka, Goddess Lakshmi actually fanned you. You know, referring to Rukmini. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with great strength, took his hand, put it into the begging bag, and took the chipped rice and ate it. Please note, it was uncooked chipped rice. This is usually not digestible unless you have a stomach of a gorilla. You know, it's really very, very difficult to digest. It's very unpalatable. But Mahaprabhu ate it. He just ate that rice. Shuklambara exclaimed, now I am lost. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, I will not accept even heavenly nectar from someone who has no devotion. When the devotees who were around this scene, you know, how Mahaprabhu had sat on the throne, how he had revealed his identity as Krishna, how he had reminded this unknown brahmachari, whom everyone thought to be a beggar, that you are Sudama and you came and visited me in Dwaraka. The devotees thought, this is a great wonder. And like it is done in Chaitanya Bhakti, they expressed their great feelings of ecstasy by doing a powerful kirtan. And they chanted and danced in great love of Godhead. So, then the next day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went with his devotees to the... And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Shuklambara, tomorrow I will come and I will eat at your house. Shuklambara said, but I'm very poor. I'm very fallen. How can I cook for the Lord? It's almost like, you know, we get a new bhakta here and we say, tomorrow you cook the offering for Radha Madan Mohan. Let us say, we say this to Bhakta Mario. Bhakta Mario, we have captured you. Tomorrow, you cook the offering for Radha Madan Mohan. Then you will go like, oh, now I'm finished. First of all, I cannot cook so many preparations. I knew some Nudeln kann ich kochen. You know, but the five, what is it, seven preparations or and so on, and then I'm not yet, then I'm not Brahman initiated, and you know, and then if this is offered to my to Radha Madan Mohan, I know don't know, then I get the sauce from the temple management, you know, and oh Krishna. Then I can never show my face again in Goloka Dham. Only when the moon shines, I will come. You know, so Shuklambara thought, how can I cook? So he asked the devotees for a tip, and they said, well, the Lord has said he will take prasadam at your house. So you have to cook. Let us stop for a while and let us analyze. The scriptures say you can only offer something to the Lord if you know all the mantras and all the rules and regulations. Otherwise, it's sinful. Would you like to know what in the Vedas is necessary if you want to offer food? This will be the shock of your life. Damodar Priya, are you ready? You will, but you have to stay till the end of the lecture because otherwise you will be shocked. So, first, you should start to chant the mantra Astrayapat while sprinkling water on the food and doing the chakra mudra, as far as I know it's, wait a minute. I'm sorry, how, like this, no? Almost. V, Mahma? Like this, so. Astrayapat, Astrayapat. Then water has to go. Wait, this is not, this is only the beginning. Thereafter, you should dip your finger into water and chant the Vayu Bija. Vayu Bija, what is this? It's yang, 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 and sprinkle the food 10 times. Not 9 times. By this, you have taken the dryness from the food. And now, you should mentally place the Vani Bija into the palm of the right hand. And with the left hand below the right hand, display the food before the offering. In other words, you go like this, and the Vani Bija is Ram, 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 Ram. This is how you offer the food mentally. Then, you should meditate how from this chanting, Rang, fire comes. And this fire burns the rest of the dryness of the food away. It must be juicy. Rasa. The Lord wants rasa. No? Then you should mentally place an Amrita Bija into the left hand. That is tang, 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 tang. And so on. But wait. Then you should sprinkle the nectar which arises from this bija on the food. You should do mula mantras and consider that the entire offering is nectar. Then it goes on and on and on like this. Finally, you do the Dhenu Mudra. What is the Dhenu Mudra? The cow mudra. It's different mood, different things, or do you have to? This is too complicated. It looks like a cow, if you have the eyes to see. And then you should worship the offering, that offering, with Shihari, with water and sandalwood past, and then you should take a handful of flowers. Worship Sri Hari and pray as follow. O Lord, let fire emanate from your lotus mouth to accept this offering. And then you should meditate in your mind that now fire comes out of the Lord's mouth, goes into the offering and accepts the offering. Wonderful.
I like this. I'm becoming highly interested. Maybe I will do this. I like such things.
And, you know, it goes two more pages like this, if you want to offer food for Krishna. This is the Vedic process. And the Lord will never... it says, he who does not will never accept anything which is not offered by these rules and regulations. This is the Vedic statement. Now, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu broke all these rules and more rules by directly accepting the unqualified rice of Shuklambada's Brahmachari, which came from the Speisekammern of the most poor people, neglected people, was put into the begging bag, and which was carried by this Brahmachari on his shoulder. He just took it and accepted this. Because you must know that all rules and regulations are actually servants of devotional service. Someone who does not understand this, that devotional service is the most important, and who keeps the rules and regulations as the most important, will be vanquished. Vedavyas has stated that devotion is the root of all rules, and Gauranga has directly demonstrated this. It said, the Brahmana did not offer the rice with mudras, nor did he even offer it. Yet, nevertheless, the Lord eagerly ate it. So this is the secret of Gaura Bhakti. Let us please understand the power of the Bhakti which is there in the hearts of the devotees. Why is Bhakti so attractive to Krishna? That as Vrindavanadas Thakur says, in the face of Bhakti, all the rules and regulations are pulverized to dust. Why? You must know that the presiding goddess of bhakti is Bhakti Devi or Srimati Radharani, whose the only one who can give pleasure to Krishna. Krishna is so charming that he conquers even the heart of Cupid, but Radha attracts his mind and totally bewilders the Lord because he's so attracted to Srimati Radharani that he tries to milk a bull. But it's a bull, Kanaya. What were you thinking of?
Oh, nothing.
He was thinking of Madan Mohan Mohini, Srimati Radharani, who bewilders even the mind of Lord Krishna. When a devotee offers loving service, he can do so only if he is taking the protection of Srimati Radharani. That's why we have put into this temple room this beautiful picture of Srimati Radharani, who is giving shelter to the devotees who want to offer devotional service. When Srimati Radharani sees that a devotee wants to sincerely offer service to Krishna, she goes to Krishna and says, "My Lord, there is a devotee who is much more qualified than I. Please accept his service." And that's why Krishna is charmed by bhakti, not due to any other reason. He's charmed because bhakti is the quality of the Khladini Shakti, that loving mood which is situated in the heart of Srimati Radharani. It is by Srimati Radharani's mercy that bhakti appears in the heart of a devotee. That's why we pray to Srimati Radharani for bhakti. Srimati Radharani is in charge of there are two types of gopis. You can imagine Krishna is here, and then there is a left wing and a right wing of gopis. So the right wing gopis, they think, "I belong to Krishna." But the left wing gopis think differently. It's interesting, isn't it? We usually also think, I belong to Krishna. But the left wing gopis think differently. They think, "Krishna belongs to me." That is the difference between the right wing gopis and the left wing. He belongs to us. He is obligated towards our mistress, our Srimati Radharani. And this was proven by Lord Krishna, that this is correct, that he belongs to the left wing gopis. That when Krishna, in the Man Mandir, it's a place in Vashana, it was a place where Radharani had developed great dissatisfaction with Krishna. She was very, very disturbed with Krishna and had decided to never see Lord Krishna again. And she was very serious about it. Krishna heard about it later. She had given away everything which was black, which reminded her of Krishna, including her shalagram, the shalagram Shila at home. every black cloth. She would not go out in the blackness of the night. She would burn candles so that there was never any black night, even in her room. She would just did not want to have anything to do with Krishna. Genug is genug.
Yes. And now imagine if, you know, if any living entity turns away from Krishna, you know, and says, I don't want to have anything to do with Krishna. Krishna will leave him. But not Shima, when Srimati Radharani does this, because Krishna also feels, I belong to Radharani. I'm her property. And he comes running to Srimati Radharani and puts his head in utter submission on her lotus feet and says, I cannot live without you. I'm your property. Just don't turn me away, please. I do anything. I pay my obeisances to the feet. And he breaks Srimati Radharani's man by this, or anger by this mood of total submission. So Lord Krishna is, that's my point, is the property of Srimati Radharani, and he can not escape Srimati Radharani. I don't know if you have ever felt like this, that you belong to someone. And I remember I was very attached to my mother, and I felt I am the property of my mother. And once my mother was so angry with me because I had burned a house, or I had done some vile things. I really blown it as a little boy. I was extremely restless as a little boy. I once burned a house, but I don't know if this was the reason why my mother was so angry. For some reason, my mother was very angry with me. And I remember for one whole month, I was in utter despair because my mother didn't want to see me any longer. And I couldn't do anything. I became a good boy for 1 month. I went even to every school class, which was very difficult to do. And so on. Krishna. To just soften the heart. Because I couldn't imagine an existence separate from my mother and the well-wishes of my mother. I just couldn't go on in my life. So this just, and to give an idea, Krishna considers himself to belong to Srimati Radharani and her group, and that's why the bhakti has such a charm on him, such a spell over him, that when there is bhakti in the heart of a devotee, then everything, then nothing else matters for Krishna. He breaks all the rules which he himself has established in the Vedic scriptures. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here shows the topmost platform of Raganuga Bhakti, or spontaneous love, as the ultimate goal of regulative devotional service. And he says that the glories and sweetness of anuraga, that is deep attachment, is situated beyond all arrangements in the path of archana. I want to end here by saying that this point was also made by Madan Mohan the other day. There were two wonderful, very elevated pujaris
in Goloka Dham discussing what is the most important element in deity worship. One pujari said punctuality. The other said love. They discussed punctuality against love, love against punctuality, and so on. The pandits met. Then the punctual devotee said, "It's the please, I really have to run to the altar now. It's the time, and so on." And when the punctual devotee went on the altar, he saw that the clock of Radha Madan Mohan had totally changed the time. You know, it should be, let us say, I don't know what time it was, 12:30, but the time which was shown was 7:33 and a half. You know, it's a total unrelated time. Then the devotee went out of the altar room to look for the other clock in the kitchen. And that clock also, almost as going like, you know, was showing 10 and 98 or whatever, you know, some other time. And in this way, Madan Mohan had made the point that love is very important, or attachment to him is very important. Madan Mohan is, and if you get to know him, he is a very, very intense personality who teaches his devotees in many ways. Yes. So this is the point I wanted to explain today. About Shuklam, and my example was Shuklam Varadas Brahmachari. He's the best.
Hare Krishna.
Do you have any questions regarding Shuklam Varadas Brahmachari? Isn't he wonderful? Oh, Krishna. Atya. I'm sorry. Yeah, cook him something. Yes. Later, when Lord Chaitanya came, I forgot to tell this. Adya wants to know the rest. when Lord Chaitanya, but let me tell it anyways. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the devotee said to Chuklambara, "Why don't you do like this? You somehow pour rice in the pot through a leaf or something, and then the pot boils it, and then you will not touch the pot and it will be cooked." So Shuklambara did cook some rice ultimately. It said the goddess Lakshmi came into his house and did the cooking. Somehow he poured into, you know, like we do in the deity worship, when someone cannot put the things into the fire, you remember? Then we have some trick, you know, some brahmana lights the fire. Something like this, no? Brahmana should light the fire and then everything is possible. Yes? Yeah, that is. So he also made some arrangement, and then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he visited him and he ate cooked rice, actually. But you wanted to ask another question, yes?
Actually, sometimes we are asked
Sometimes we are asked to give more than we can give. How to solve it? We think we cannot give it. The devotee takes pleasure in understanding that Krishna is Bhava Grahi Janardana, that is the Lord who accepts the mood of his devotees. So you try, and Krishna will accept your attempts, even if your offering may not be perfect, because you cannot deliver a perfect offering. Krishna will accept the mood. That's what the Lord is interested in. He's not like a perfectionist. I'm thinking always at my mathematics teacher was Dr. Becker, and he was a big Nazi in his before he became a school teacher. This man was so cruel, and he liked to torture us little boys in the school. And whenever he had these most difficult tests, and we tried so hard, imagine little boys just trying to solve the mathematical equation, but he just liked to see us fail. I remember that. He particularly didn't like me because of different reasons. Anyways, but Krishna is not like this, that he likes us to fail. Krishna likes us to win. Krishna likes to see that, this devotee is wonderful. And he does so by accepting the mood of the devotee. When he sees a devotee sincerely trying and attempting to do something, then Krishna is extremely satisfied with it. Extremely. I think the one big mistake which we can do, many big mistakes, but one mistake is that due to in our lives we can maneuver ourselves into, let us call it, Krishna stress, that we have to do so much, that we think we have to do so much, and we are totally overburdened, and the stress, stress is that emotion which totally brings a human being into the survival mode. He can only think, I need to survive. I need to survive somehow. And when you are having this fear in your life, can I survive? Can I make it? This is already so much. Then this is totally antagonistic to love. When you have fear, bhaya, then you cannot develop love. It is not possible. So stress can bring you into this survival thing, and any little thing you feel when you are in stress can break your neck and so on. We must be very careful that we don't work into ourselves into a mode of stress. This can happen, and then we lose Krishna and the point of love. We are so full of fear. I just read this with Jiva Goswami. I thought it was a New Age point that fear is opposed to love. But he quotes this verse, that when the living entity turns away from Krishna, he develops fear. Then he says in the commentary, fear is opposed to love. Therefore, the remedy is you must again turn your attention to Krishna by the help of your spiritual master, accept him as everything, Krishna, and then worship him by this attention which you put to Krishna. You can develop love. Fear is developing when you turn away from Krishna.
So let us not turn away from Krishna in the name of devotional service. And that will happen when we are doing too much or when we are in stress. I know myself, you know. My life is actually so wonderful. I can preach, I can write letters, I can write so many emails and articles. Today I had to write 2 articles. Krishna. But when I do it under stress, I go like, oh, why is no one understanding my situation? Oh, and I'm miserable and lamenting like an old woman from North Germany, you know, and so on. It's under stress this happens. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.